radio, and the internet.
TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
With six, Illinois up 63-56. With four, Hughes for three, no good. Davis the rebound. Who says you can't win in Madison? The Illini have just done it. They've knocked off the 11th ranked team in the country on their home court, 63-56. And the first unranked Big Ten opponent to ever beat Bo Ryan since he's been the coach at Wisconsin.
Welcome to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. And now, here's a Cubs fan who drinks light beer and has mustard relish and grilled onions on his Chicago dog, and a White Sox fan who prefers single malts and Cuban cigars. But there's no mistaking their everlasting love for the Fighting Illini of the University of Illinois. You are Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Did you lock yourself out?
I did.
How did you manage to do that?
Well, I forgot to turn the one little dial that keeps the door open. And it's after 5, so that door is closed to the front door.
Okay.
I thought maybe you didn't want me. You're giving me the second hour off.
I did not intentionally. Like, have we ever had a more ridiculous to sublime experience than winning at Wisconsin as the first unranked Big Ten team to win in the Bo Ryan era at Wisconsin? And follow that up with a crash landing against Ohio State where we never, ever, ever showed up on Sunday.
Yes, we have. Excuse me.
When was the last time you saw that kind of dichotomy between a win and a loss?
Well, I don't know if it would fall under your definition of dichotomy, but certainly back in the day when Eddie Johnson hit the shot that we were number one in the country for a couple of days and then lost the next game at home to Ohio State, that was a pretty
wild
ride.
That was an overtime game. It was a competitive game. And might I add, during that Ohio State game, Steve Lander went down with a torn ACL that might have had an impact on why we lost.
Off the top, that's what came to mind.
I'm just saying, I don't think that there's been that kind of mood swing since Sybil was on the big screen.
Well, Ohio State, I said it last week that I was more concerned with that game or thought we had as good or better chance of winning Tuesday night in Madison than the Ohio State game. Now, Jerry Palm, who has Purdue better than Ohio State and MSU because of Purdue's defense. I'm not sure. If you recall the first Purdue-Ohio State game at Lafayette, Evan Turner's first game back, they went through that defense like hot butter, like whatever the expression is.
Well, in the first half, Purdue controlled the game, and
then
Turner just went
off.
Listen, teams that are not as good as other teams often win games. We're not as good as Wisconsin. Objectively, we're not.
Well,
and yet we won at
Wisconsin.
I disagree
with that.
Well,
There
is no objective measure in today's basketball world that says that we are better than Wisconsin. None.
What says that they're better than us?
Well, the RPI, Sagarin, AP poll, USA Today poll, the man on the street.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think that the conference will end. Clearly, the top three teams are Ohio State, Michigan State, Purdue. But the way the schedule is, and some of these teams play each other, Wisconsin can end up with six losses, or Michigan State, or any one of those top three can end up with four or five.
My recollection is Wisconsin has a relatively easy road to hoe.
They still have to play us. And they have to play, I've got this here somewhere, either one of Michigan State or Ohio State, I believe. And they're at Minnesota, which is not a walk in the park. So, I think it's between us and them for fourth place. And with a little luck, it'll be us. And with a little luck, we could slip into third.
But here's their schedule. They play at Minnesota on February 18th. They play home to Northwestern, at Indiana, home to Iowa, and at Illinois. My guess is that's probably the easiest schedule of the five contenders.
All right. Well, there could be two losses there to give them 12-6 also, I believe. But, my point being is, you know, Ohio State just looked – and one thing baffles me. You said before the break that they're a zone defense team. And the Illini, after the game, said that they practiced on Saturday against the zone, yet McKamey, I remember a quote saying that the zone surprised them. Now, I don't know, maybe it was the type of zone or whatever, but it shouldn't have surprised them, and I was very disappointed at how we attacked or did not attack the zone defense. I'm still waiting for somebody to get in front of Lauderdale on the free throw line.
Or the elbow.
To receive the ball to then just drive by him.
It's basically, it's a 1-3-1. So
right.
Basically getting the ball over a 6-7 Turner to Lauderdale is difficult. What should have been open were the elbows.
Well, did you ever hear of bounce passes?
Well, you can't bounce it through a guy with a 6'9", 6'10 wingspan. What my point is that the entry either has to come from a guard dribbling into the gap in between the Turner one and one of the wings, or you get either somebody like Griffey or Tisdale who could shoot or pass it from that position into the elbows, get them the ball at the elbow, and let them either shoot the ball or pass the ball over the top to the other big. The problem was that Mike Davis couldn't do anything. He couldn't get the ball at the elbow and pass it into Tisdale, and he couldn't get the ball down low and catch the ball no matter who was throwing the ball to him.
Well, if he was on the football team, he would have been taken out for fumbling and probably wouldn't have, you know, would play for the next
few games.
He looked
like Jeff Cumberland, actually.
Well, and that's another.
That may be a good example of what he's regressed to.
You know, that was another frustrating thing.
A guy
thing.
With all-world physical talent and YMCA
because,
results,
you know,
this year.
When Griffey is getting into the game, he's doing nothing but good things. Against Wisconsin, you know, he had 13 minutes. He had 4 points and 5 rebounds. And against Ohio State, 11 minutes, you know, 4 points and a rebound.
Boz, I think that Griffey should be taking some of Davis's minutes right now.
Much more than 11 or 13 a game.
What did, by the way, what did, how many minutes did Davis play last game?
Davis played against Ohio State 31 minutes.
Way too many.
Yeah, he was 8.7 rebounds.
And how many minutes did Griffey have?
11. I just said that.
Okay.
Way too, not enough. Way not enough.
Well, I'd like to see a different split on those minutes between those two players.
Absolutely. That, you know, the other thing is, I hope to whatever.
How'd you like Keller's jump pass, by the way?
I don't
where he caught the
cool.
ball in the backcourt, dribbled twice.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
Jumped into the air and tried to throw a 70-foot bounce pass.
Yeah.
Did you like
yeah.
that one?
Yeah, that was. I think I hit myself over.
I think that Weber, if he would have had scissors in his hand, he would have stuck them in his eyes.
I hope that Myers Leonard, you know, becomes a tough inside enforcer, because Lord knows we need that. And like I asked Dave Kaplan the question, and I think that moving forward we need to, you know, reevaluate recruiting one more time. I think they've gotten it right, getting guys on guys earlier, making some early offers. But now that they got them, you know, you don't have to jump at everyone early, and good kids are waiting.
So who would you hold out for in 2011?
Well, you know, again, Kaplan's stuff was interesting. You know, he wasn't that high on Blackshear, and I had lunch with a high school coach today, and he thinks undoubtedly Blackshear's, you know, the number one guy in the class. I forgot to bring up
Sam Thompson.
Yeah, I did bring up Tracy Abrams, but it's hard to compare a point guard with those kind of players. And he agreed, you know, he said, you know, Shaw his stock has dropped. I'm not sure what that means. You know, again, it's hard for these guys to step it up every night and put the effort in, especially when they've been getting the attention since they've been, you know, seventh, eighth grade, freshman year in high school. But, you know, I've said this since I saw him the first time. Shaw has the body that, to me, looks like a potential power forward that we need, that we're missing. Now, whether he will... Now, to date, I've heard that he doesn't want to play. He wants to be a three and not a four.
Can I ask you a question? When you eyeball Stan Simpson, He kind of looks like one of those Michigan State players, too.
He's too skinny.
No, he's strong. He's muscular.
Not enough. Come on. Michigan State, Ohio State, their shoulders are much wider and much more ripped or rippled or whatever than Stan Simpson, than Davis, than Tisdale, than Cole.
I have a buddy, a mutual friend of ours, who thinks that there are only three NBA players, real NBA players, guys who are going to actually, you know, play substantial minutes in the NBA, playing in the Big Ten right now. I contend there are upwards of 15 players who will be playing substantial minutes in the NBA.
Right, they have to, you know.
Well, go team by team. Michigan State.
Well, Lucas, I would think would be.
How about Green?
Green's only a sophomore.
Well, I project.
Green, and he's only 6'6".
But he's a beast.
You know, I would think Rowe and
Morgan.
And Morgan maybe have as much potential.
Ohio State also maybe have three. He has three guys who could play at the next level.
You know, Turner, Leidy,
Buford.
Buford's, you know, is only a sophomore, but he certainly's got the tools. You know, I wouldn't put it past Evan Lauderdale on a team, not as a maybe, you know, maybe as a 10-minute a game player.
Like a stockier version of Granville Waiters.
Much stockier. But that kid's come a long way.
He has.
He's only a junior. He's not going anywhere.
He got away with physical assault on Sunday.
Well, but when you're that big, if they don't call it early, and that's why we need to have big guys to stand up to him. And it's no, you know, everybody knows it. The big games with the big brawny guys are the games that Tisdale and Davis do not do well at.
Well, I think Davis looks lost. It doesn't matter who Davis is playing against right now. He doesn't block out. He doesn't aggressively go at rebounds. One of the things that I love, the signature Davis move this year, is when he's too far under the basket and he throws his hands into the air like he was being pushed from behind, expecting a foul because somebody blew on him.
Well, you know, there were a couple plays. He got a pass on a fast break and was too far under the basket, went for a reverse, and it didn't go in, and then he just kind of stood there and looked at it in amazement and disappointment.
I just don't think he wants the ball.
There was another, speaking of wanting the ball, there was another play where him and Turner were wrestling for it, and Turner ripped it away, and Davis kind of like put his hands up like, okay, it's yours, I don't want to get involved.
I saw that,
That was, like, you know, that was scary. That was scary.
I really think that he's going through some issues that I don't even want to talk about.
All that said, you know, I would like to see us play a competitive close game this Saturday, which I think we will at Purdue. With a little luck, we might be able to pull it out.
What do you think the line will be?
Well, we probably will be getting, I would say, might depend on what Purdue does tomorrow. But as we sit here today, me, the expert lines maker, you know, we're getting at least 4 or 5 points.
I say it's a 9.5-point spread.
Yeah, that's what it was at Madison, right?
It'll be 9.5.
But again, looking at the schedule, I mean, if we want the tourney or think we belong, we got to beat Michigan. I mean, they've been a huge disappointment. People have been beating them and beating them at home, but we win our two home games, which are very winnable, and beat Michigan, we have nothing to worry about.
Well, yes, and I agree with you there. At 12-6. We have absolutely nothing to worry
about. Which, by the way, I think I said it before the season started at 12-6. But that's, you know, go ahead.
We'll check the tape.
Yeah. I know you do that as soon as you get home.
But at 12-6, we have nothing to worry about. My point is, if you look at whether or not we're going to be favored in each one of those games, we're going to be a dog at Michigan. We're certainly a dog at Purdue. We're a dog at Ohio State. Wisconsin at Illinois probably will be around a push game.
Okay.
And I think we'll be a dog at Michigan as well. So we're not going to be favored in any game other than the Minnesota game.
Whatever.
The guys in Vegas know a little more than we do.
I don't know about that.
Okay. They know a little more than I do. You're smarter than them.
888-463-6748. Give us a call. Talk Illini Hoops. We'll talk a little football, too, maybe. The 2011 schedule came out, and I'm getting in line next week to wherever the BCS championship game is. With a schedule like that, you know, we should be in hands down. Somebody was listening to us, Mr. G. We got 8 home games, 4 non-conference at home to start. Although, you know, 2 of them, I don't know, you know, you never know in 2 years how good they're going to be. What is it, Arkansas State?
I think that Gunther,
Western Michigan,
we should start calling
Arizona
Gunther
State.
2 years too late, Ron. When it comes to pulling the plug on coaches, when it comes to getting the schedule right.
He was locked into the Missouri contract.
By the way, who locked him into that contract? Who negotiated that contract?
I would guess he, himself, and I.
Bingo.
And him.
Yes, me, myself, and Irene, right?
5:30 in about 10-15 minutes from now, our good friend, another Glenbrook North alum, Ed Bond.
Ed Bond.
The
Bond,
producer
is.
Of the Illini Sports Network, good enough to send us all the highlights every week and sometimes the lowlights. We got a big day Saturday coming up, Mr. G. Tell everybody about it.
Well, we're doing our first remote broadcast. I just had a bunch of T-shirts printed up for all of our fans.
We got another place that wants us to do a remote. Did you see that email?
Who is that?
Another bar, and maybe we'll do the Big Ten
Let's see how
tournament.
It goes for us. 1-3 on Saturday, just prior to the Purdue game. We're doing a remote broadcast from Joe's on Weed Street. That's Joe's right about Weed and Sheffield. And we're going to be there with...
Well, Weed is off of North Avenue.
Yeah, just south of North Avenue.
And just west of Halsted, I believe.
West of Halsted, east of Sheffield, on Weed Street. It's a great bar, a great college bar. They've got different rooms, probably 8,000 TVs. There'll be a bunch of Illini fans there. You know, we're negotiating contracts with people to show up, so we'll tell you how many we buy and what it costs per head to get them there. It's sort of like buying an election in Chicago. We're going to be giving out free T-shirts. We'll be giving out free pitchers of beer, and vote early.
We might have some wildfire gift certificates to give out.
Excellent. Vote early and often with your feet, with your mouth. Come on in. And anybody who's there, who's a longtime listener, who's been an emailer to the show, we'll figure out a way to get you on live. We're going to have a couple extra mics set up, and this will be your 15 minutes of glory or 15 seconds of glory, depending upon how well you do when we put you on the air.
Now, I doubt that we'll have computers so people won't be able to email in, but they certainly could call in if they can't make it or if they're out of state.
Wait, can you see me on camera? Yes, we will have computers there.
Oh, okay, super.
Yeah.
So people can still email in.
They actually have Wi-Fi at Joe's on Weed.
All right. I did not know that.
I could even bring my laptop and just do that thing.
I'm sure you will. Well, that's great. That's great. We're looking forward to it, and we have no idea how many people will come, but we have a good
T-shirts, beer, steaks, whatever you guys need to get there, we're buying. Hey, we got a break for a minute. Our number again is 888-463-6748, or you can email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. We'll be back in a moment with Ed Bond after these words from our sponsors.
Never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. Now, that's not exactly the saying, but it seems like people would rather have a root canal than do something about their finances. That's what AXA Advisors is all about. Working with you one-on-one so you'll have a financial plan for the things you want tomorrow. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 224-554-8053. That's 224-554-8053. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
You buy the car you want at Rizzo.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair, a proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
Streaming 24-7, on-demand archives, podcasts, and more.
TalkZone.com.
TalkZone.com. Saying a lot for planet Earth. You're Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com.
Boz and Mr. G back, Talking Illini.
We're talking RPI today. We're talking high school hoops today. We're talking Coach Gunther's schedule today.
You know, lots of other buzz going on around football, reading about, you know, the defensive coordinator making his plans, and we might show a little 3-4 because we're short on defensive linemen, and Martez Wilson can become finally an outside rusher like everyone's been saying he should be since his freshman year. It's taken 2-3 years to figure that one out.
Do we have a position of strength on our defense this year?
Oh, on the defense. Well, I thought Terry Hawthorne was pretty good.
But, you know, it's interesting that Jeff made a comment that he didn't have quick enough hips and would not be able to play corner in this system, that he'll probably end up at safety.
Well, it'll be a good safety. I think, what's his name, number 15, is slipping my mind, the other guy that went in.
Atkins?
Yeah. Atkins?
Atkins,
I think. He looked pretty good. You know, legit has
talent,
but not, it hasn't showed it enough. You know, hasn't dominated, but he has.
He needs to take some weight off
to do so. No, it could be a long, you know, season defensively, and like we thought last year, we might have to outscore people, but you know, we have to score first in order to do that. So that didn't work out either.
Yes, we are walking on eggshells going into next season.
We're the Missouri game on eggshells.
I think that was Sunshine.
The Missouri quarterback can't wait till opening day.
You know, and that guy's a big guy. Talk about a guy who could lose a few pounds. Is his name Graybert?
No, he wasn't that big. He was tall.
I think he was a little heavy, but you know, he had a look at our defense like a guy walking up to a buffet. It's all you want to eat. It's whatever you want, whenever you want it, wherever you want it. That was their defense last year.
Well, you know, maybe we're going to see some different stuff.
And it was appropriate that our defensive coordinator last year, his name was Dish. At a buffet, that's what you want,
and
right?
And we were eating up all year long.
Right, absolutely.
So how do you feel about the Purdue game coming up?
Oh, I think that we're going to lose by double digits. But, you know, me, I tend to think the worst in situations like that. I think that Purdue's playing at a very high level right now. I told you, after they lost three games, I said it would not surprise me if Purdue ran the table. And it really, worst-case scenario, I had them going 14-4. And that was after the three-game loss. They're a very good basketball team, and they're getting better every game. And I like the way they play. I like the intensity they bring. I think they guard as well as anybody in the conference.
Oh, just like Jerry Palm said.
They do guard well.
I'm looking to see who they got left. Well, Michigan State goes to Purdue. Purdue's at Ohio State tomorrow, then us. Then they have to go to Minnesota, which is always tricky.
Buzz, you can't do that on TV anymore.
What? Scratch my nose?
You scratch your nose, that's right.
Well, you know, I don't know that everyone can see me because you've got the prime seat there. And I don't have to be seen anyway. So those are their tough games. They also have Indiana and Penn State. But like I said, we've played Purdue tough the last couple years.
I've got Purdue going 14-4.
Games have
losing
maybe
one
gotten
more game
away the last minute or so.
But you know what? You can't tell me that playing Purdue without Robbie Hummel last year was meaningful to the extent that, you know, he is the heart and soul of that basketball team.
No, I cannot.
So beating Purdue without Robbie Hummel at Purdue is, you know, really takes a lot of the luster out of that victory.
And what do you think about our offense? Frankly, I've been a little disappointed. It seems like, you know, the motion really doesn't work, and we end up with a one-on-one or a one-on-five or a two-on-five with McCamey and Tisdale.
Well, I think we have shown some flexibility this year, notwithstanding what you said before, and that is that we've gone to more of a high pick and roll, double screen, single screen, pick and roll with motion off of that pick and roll. So I have seen some subtle changes, and those changes have resulted in some good wins. I thought that going pick and roll at Wisconsin was the reason we won.
Yeah, but it's always either McCamey or Tisdale shooting, nobody else, everyone else standing
as opposed
around
to like John Stockton and Karl Malone.
Well,
you know, I mean, you can run a two-man game if you have reasonable shooters, and if people cheat on the two-man game, then guess what? You're going to beat them.
So you're now comparing Tisdale to Karl
Malone. No, I'm just saying that there are lots of NBA teams that play two-man games.
All right, let's bring in our good friend Ed Bond down from Champaign, the producer of everything we hear back home on the Illini Sports Network. Ed, thanks for hopping on.
Hey, thanks for having me. This will be fun. I've been listening to your show this afternoon. You've had some great guests already, and I'm glad to be on with you. That's terrific.
Ed, my memories of you go back to the dance marathon in Champaign in probably 1978 or 79.
Yeah, that's. I was thinking about that. I've been at this a long time, and marathon and the people from McDonald's and the ZBT house that put that event on, that was... Well, they don't do it like that anymore.
No, nobody does it like we did it back then, Ed. But, you know, believe it or not, there are fans that, you know, they've heard your name over the years, but have never heard you, or some don't even know what you look like, although we saw you Sunday on national TV. Was it popcorn or Cracker Jacks you were munching?
I've heard that from a lot of people, and they always catch me with a bag full of popcorn.
That's great. But so you're from the northern suburbs, Northbrook, and went to Glenbrook North, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
What year did you graduate from North?
I graduated in 73.
73.
So you before me.
You were not there for the Jack Moeller-led state championship team, probably the greatest upset in state playoffs history when they beat the East St. Louis team with Kellen Winslow, Bird, and Crosby, three future NFL players on that East St. Louis team. Glenbrook North, the little train that could, beat them in the state championship game.
No, I wasn't around, but I remember hearing about it and you know, rooting them on in that time. There have been a lot of good players come out of Glenbrook North, you know, even recently in basketball. There's a couple of them playing in the big-time leagues right now.
Absolutely.
Right. So from Glenbrook North, you went down to U of I, and did you major in communications? And
no, I didn't. I just switched around a little bit when I was here. My degree is from LAS in economics, and I never had any communications courses or radio courses or anything like that.
Did you have a ham radio when you were young?
I did not. I did not.
Where did you pick up the acumen to do what you're doing for a living?
I always enjoyed talk radio from...
Chicago Eddie Schwartz?
I worked with him.
Did you really?
Yeah, I worked with him.
Dave Baum?
Legendary name.
Dave Baum. I worked with Dave Baum.
Dave Baum, an Illini.
Yeah, a big-time Illini. Good friend. He's a good guy. And I grew up listening to WIND radio. And those guys, and thought, boy, wouldn't it be really cool to work there? And it just happened. But I started my radio career, I guess, at WPGU here. And the first thing I did was go find the radio station. And then I was out at that time. PGU was broadcasting the ball games, And so I started doing it there. And then I was at the right place at the right time with the right person and got involved with the, you know, the number one Illini broadcast team. And, you know, we're the surviving team. There used to be, you know, four, five, six originations over the years, and it's down to one. So
that's you.
That's us. That's us.
Were you ever, you know, out front with the mic doing sideline interviews, or were you always spinning the dials behind the scenes?
I've always been behind the scenes with the Illini. I've always been, you know, done that.
Some guys say they have a face for radio. I guess you have a voice for behind the screen.
Yeah, I get on the air now at our local station here, WDWS, every once in a while. You know, when they get to the bottom of the list of who's going to work New Year's Day. Well, I'll work New Year's Day. I'll work the 4th of July, you know, things like that. And I do fill in a little bit on our local station. But I've always, you know, been more interested with you know, how the whole thing goes together.
As somebody who's followed Illini sports for almost 30 years now, over 36 years.
Yeah.
Who was your favorite broadcaster to work with, and tell us some of your favorite moments covering Illinois sports?
Well, I guess, you know, they're all terrific. Our current team is absolutely terrific. And, you know, there's been a lot of them. Brian Barnhart, in fact, tonight you can watch him on the Big Ten Network. There was an emergency call, and he got called out to Iowa City tonight. So he'll be broadcasting the Iowa ball game with Jim Jackson on the Big Ten Television Network tonight.
So who couldn't make it out to the game?
Dave Revson.
Revson, why couldn't Dave make it?
I believe he had a death in his family.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear
I
that.
There's a
our condolences to the Revson family.
Yeah,
he was just on the show last week.
Yeah, I believe it's a mother-in-law, but I don't have all the details. You know, it was sketchy this morning when plans were being made to get Brian out to Iowa City. So,
Boz, we should send him an email. Condolences.
Yeah, so that'll be an interesting game. Michigan at Iowa. Was Larry Stewart still doing the games when you started?
Well, he was. He was on, you know, on WDWS, and I was working for Dick Martin.
Okay.
And but then along the way, when things changed, I actually worked, you know, several games with Larry Stewart. Traveled with Larry, roomed with Larry.
He had a big budget back then.
Yeah, back then we had a big budget. So it was,
I'll bet there's some good stories that could be told out of that. I don't know if we want to hear them, you know, now, though.
It was.
I hope not, Buzz.
It was interesting. But, you know, the number one guy, I guess, going all the way back is Dick Martin. I mean, that's the reason that I'm where I'm at, or, you know, how I got started. And, you know, I was with the right guy.
Have there ever been moments where you absolutely forgot that you were not a fan and wanted to jump out of your seat and just be that fan that you've always been?
Oh, yeah, many times. And Dick would get on me because he'd say, I got Ed standing behind me doing the play-by-play. I'd be on the, in the early years, I was on the telephone and with WBBM in Chicago, and Rich King was the producer on that end. And Rich King, you see on WGN television now. And so we'd be talking the whole time during the game, and then I'd start, you know, yelling, and Dick would have to, you know, calm down. I'm doing the play-by-play. So
give me your favorite football moments.
Oh, well, I don't know. We've had the two Rose Bowls. I was thinking of travel with the football. Remember the Glasnost Bowl that never happened? And then the game was scheduled, I guess, against the Southern Cal at the Coliseum, and Coach Makovic was still here. Well, this is before you had computers and GPS devices, and we got out there. And for some reason, I didn't travel with the team that time, but I was there a day or two in advance and was at the hotel and had gone and seen where the practice facility was, which was just a couple blocks from the hotel. Well, they got out there, and they'd gone to the hotel, and then the buses were going to pick them up, and they went on a grand tour of Southern California for about 3 hours, and, you know, not knowing where this practice facility was, and they finally showed up at the practice facility, and a bunch of media people are there, and, you know, Coach got off the bus and was like, well, where you been? And he was like, oh, man, was he hot, because no one had pre-scouted it out where they're supposed to be or what they're supposed to do, but we got out there, and then I believe that's the same trip that we won that ball game. Sean Wax was.
Wasn't that the deflected pass or something like that?
Yeah, I think, and Sean Wax had a part in it, I believe.
Sean Wax caught 2 fourth-quarter touchdown passes from Jeff George.
From Jeff George, yeah.
One was a deflected pass that bounced off somebody's shoulder pads.
Yeah.
It was the Illini version of the Immaculate Reception.
We never thought he'd make the end zone, it seemed like. He just kept running and running and running.
Got there.
How about, you know, a couple weeks back we had the Michigan State game and the fans rushed the court. It was a great game. As I was watching at home, I was thinking about Wake Forest of a few years back. Aside from those, what are a couple of the great basketball games you witnessed over the years at the Assembly Hall?
Well, the Lou Henson's teams in 89, making the trips from Indianapolis to Minneapolis, and then, of course, Lowell Hamilton got hurt on the wet floor when the Metro Dome
was. Was it Kenny Battle or Lowell Hamilton?
Well, it was both of them, I believe.
Yeah.
Kenny may be more severe than Lowell, but Rod Cardinal was up, you know, all night with going between a couple rooms with changing ice packs on people's legs and whatnot. And you know, that was a great trip. And then when they won at Minneapolis, and Coach Henson wanted to get out of there, and turns to Mary and says, "Well, come on, Mary, we got to go. If we leave now, we'll get home, but we can watch Murder, She Wrote." He had never seen the show in his life, I don't think, but he came up with that line to get out of the, you know, to get out of there after he had spent sufficient time with the media.
Ed, did you ever flip off your headphones and rush the court?
No, I haven't done that. I'm usually, you know, trying to make sure that we survive it. You know, we've been run over a couple times, I think. But the other night was not a super big rush. It was nice that the Orange Crush came out. I thought it was good. And the Michigan State game, you know, the energy level on that day, it started at 7:30 in the morning. I mean, and it was just loud and rocking for 13 hours for 13 hours.
And ESPN wonders why they rushed the court. These kids were gooped up in GOP all day long. Of course they were going to rush the court.
Well, and ESPN and their crew, they did a great job, but they were out there, you know, leading the hype, you know, and you got 4,500 students. You know, it was mostly students. Anybody was welcome to come, but it was mostly students, Orange Crush and beyond. And they were there. They wanted to, you know, yell and scream and show that they can do it better than anybody else in the country. And I think they did on that day. And it just raised it to a, you know, the magical level. And then winning the ball game, you know, just capped it off. And well, then we went to Wisconsin, and I was worried about Wisconsin because I thought, you know, this is a 1 or 2 day turnaround, and we got to travel and all that. How do you get back up? Well, the people at Wisconsin were half asleep for the whole, you know, all day long.
What was the crowd like Sunday?
Half asleep.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a combination, you know, the Illini didn't get off to a very good start, so they didn't give the crowd anything to cheer about. But it was late arriving. It was an early game. Noon on Sunday is an early time. But, you know, I've always thought, Coach Henson always said, and I've always agreed with it, that, you know, to get up for all these games so quick, you can't get your emotions up to that level.
But that's what separates great teams from ordinary teams.
Well, that's true. That's true. So, you know, looking forward now, the team we've had 4 or 5 days going into Purdue this weekend, and Purdue has to put out a lot of energy tomorrow night in their game over at Columbus with Ohio State. So
you're picking us to beat Purdue Saturday.
We win. We won there last year. We'll win again.
All right, terrific.
Oh, guys, listening to you guys, it's unbelievable. It's like, reality, why bother?
No. I'm an Illini fan. We're going to win.
There you go.
You and Boz, you know, you could go out on Saturday nights together. This is, you guys would have great fun. You could tell each other how great you are.
Ed, thanks for hopping on, and be careful now of those cameras and the popcorn and all that, but we want to thank you for all the highlights. Look forward to many more the rest of the season, into the Big Ten tourney and the NCAA tourney as well.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you very much for having me on. It's always good to see you guys, and you know, a year or so ago, we met you up there at Northwestern game. That was a terrific time. And, Boz, I'll see you in Indianapolis in early April.
All righty. You got it. Say hello to Brian, too.
Okay.
Okay.
Good night. Thank
Ed
you.
Ed Bond.
Why, you guys know some guys at Purdue that can get you tickets?
Well, I'm going to be at Final Four Saturday.
Are you?
With Gray Goose Paul gets tickets through Butler every time they're at Indiana.
Well, so that's a fine thing.
Yes, it is. We're going to take a quick break, Mr. G. Come back, wind it up, and see what we got for the last few minutes. This is Talking Illini at TalkZone.com. Back in a moment.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to five vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find the location nearest you.
Chicago Athletic Club is the number one athletic club chain in Chicagoland, according to the Chicago Tribune. For membership info, visit their Lincoln Park, Lakeview, Evanston, or West Loop locations, or call Pat Cunningham at 773-529-2024. Tell them Boz and Mr. G sent you, and receive 1 month absolutely free. That's 773-529-2024. Chicago Athletic Clubs, another great Illini sports experience.
This is the future.
TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. Now, back to Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Boz and Mr. G.
You know, Boz, we have an extraordinary producer in Dave Olson. He is really the goods, and he makes us look as good as we can look every time we're in front of the microphones.
Dave, makes us look as good as we can look on
Dave,
radio.
I don't want you to feel bad. If you want to come on air for a couple minutes with us, anytime.
I'll keep that in mind. Thanks, guys.
Boy, oh boy, he sounded like
a man of very few words.
Tom Brokaw.
But very nimble fingers.
You know, Ed Bond had an interesting point.
Really?
Yeah, that I want to expand on. The Wisconsin crowd from the beginning was dead. Like, they did not, like, they assumed this was going to be a win, and they did not respect us at all. And, you know, it wasn't like, in fact, I think we got down early that game, which you predicted, and then I predicted that wouldn't be a problem and we'd come back.
You're down 22-11,
I believe. And you would think that they'd be going wild and all that and keep their team inspired and in the game, but, you know, we kind of methodically fought our way back.
So what, was our crowd just hung over on Sunday or what?
Well, you know, in the first 2 minutes, it was like, what, 10 to whatever?
You know what, but we never were in that game. We never, ever had any energy. I just, it was so disappointing on so many levels. I really think it was a top-down failure. There wasn't one facet of play or coaching that I thought you could point your hand to and say, oh, you know what, we did this okay. We didn't do anything well. We didn't coach well. We didn't play well. We didn't have energy. And I fault the crowd as well. The crowd didn't help us out either.
Well, you're right. I mean, it was an absolute clunker. You got to put it behind and move forward, and hopefully, you know, we won't have any one of those again. But, again, you got to give Ohio State credit. They were damn good.
What do you do with Mike Davis?
You know, if you start him and he's not doing – we talked about it earlier. You got to give Griffey more minutes. I mean, Griffey needs 20 minutes.
I think if you look at – this is the other thing that really frosts my mug. And that is, these national announcers who really don't watch us day in and day out are not doing their homework. They look at Mike Davis, and they think about the Mike Davis from last year. They think about the Mike Davis from the Clemson game this year. They haven't seen him game in and game out over the last 10, 12 games, where the guy has basically retracted into a shell and not given us anything to speak of. And that's the Mike Davis that we're seeing every day, and it's so frustrating to people who know what kind of talent the kid has and just hasn't developed it. And when I hear a Greg Anthony or a Gus Johnson talk about Mike Davis as being, you know, somebody with potential NBA talent, you know, potential can only get you so far in life. At some point, you have to realize what you are and either be that potential and make that happen or live with the fact that you failed.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far and call it a failure, but I think we've talked about it in weeks past that it very might well be we've seen the best of him, that he's peaked. I mean, he isn't NBA potential right now because he can't put the ball on the floor and blow by anybody. He can't post up anybody.
You know, you see great post-up players, not even great post-up, but average post-up players. They'll catch the ball on the post. No one's going to double-team Mike Davis. No one. You know, put your butt down, back into a guy, make him foul you, or make them double you.
Well, like
double team.
Right. And when have you seen that happen?
Well, you don't, but you right. know what? The guy's 6'10".
Well, that's the frustrating thing.
He's 6'10", and he's probably got a 35-inch vertical. This is a kid who should have some post-up ability. He doesn't even get his shoulders square when he shoots the ball anymore.
No, he's better going to his right shoulder back in. If he's on the right side, he's better going back into the middle where he's got the square, because when he goes to the left and does this crazy like little hook throw or whatever, that's just plain ugly. But he can't, you know, I mean, first his hands is a third thing, you know, can't put the ball on the floor, can't post somebody, and he's shown terrible hands.
He looked like Edward Scissorhands on Sunday.
You know, so you know, short leash. I mean, especially, you know, I mean, we got to win ball games, and it just seems like Griffey is fundamentally sound for a freshman. He seems to have plenty of composure, and he gets things done.
Yeah, at this point, I really believe you need to not worry about hurting anyone's feelings. You need to put the best team out there you can possibly put out there. And right now, Griffey is playing at a higher level than Davis, and it's not even close.
No, not at all. I mean, we got the one game out of him, Michigan State, and he started the next game at Wisconsin, but really, you know, had an okay game. But, you know, Griffey was fine also, but then just Sunday it was a clunker and you know, he led the way as much as anybody. So, Purdue Saturday, I believe then following Tuesday. We're not going to be here Tuesday. We're going to rerun Saturday's show. Is that the plan?
We're going to run Saturday's show.
All right, so we're going to take off next Tuesday, which is the 23rd, come back the 30th. Next Tuesday, I believe we're at we'll have two road games at Michigan and at
Ohio State.
Ohio State, and then we come home with maybe Minnesota's in between. We got Minnesota after. We'll check that out, but because I know we end at with Wisconsin at home. Maybe Ohio State's before that, but again, I think we could win the home games, win at Michigan, and 12-6.
Boz, I hope you're right, and I hope that whatever the outcome, it's important for this team to make the NCAA tournament, because we need to build on whatever success we can this year if we're going to make a real run next year. And clearly the pieces should be in place next year to make a legitimate run and to be a very, very good team. You don't have to be experienced if you have great players. And really the proof in the pudding is our teams like Kentucky, which have just an enormous upside because of the talent level. And I think that we'll have NBA players on our team next year.
Well, it'll be interesting to see a team like Kentucky, how far they get in the tournament, though. And like Palm said, you know, their conference isn't that strong, and they're blowing by people.
Did you see Xavier beat Florida at Florida and beat them kind of going away by double digits?
You know, and as frustrated as Illini Nation might be sometimes, although Florida, what, they were in the Final Four. They won two in a row and were there like, you know, 3 out of 4 years or so. But that was several years ago, and they've missed out a couple of years in a row now. And they're in a rebuilding project, program. So, you know, it happens. But, you know, I got to hope that Myers-Leonard could come in next year and play significant minutes as a a banger down low, and not just mucking it up. I mean producing. I mean scoring in the post. I mean, you know, rebounding and outletting. And because also this the offense that we have, if we got to rely on Tisdale and McCamey to be jump shooting, you know, when was the last time you saw at Wisconsin you didn't see anyone within 8 to 10 feet of the basket for an offensive rebound? Not only that, but nobody running in to try to get one either. I mean, you somehow, some way, your offense has to be constructed where there's going to be at least one person with a chance to get an offensive rebound.
We have three guys who are capable of getting offensive rebounds: Billy Cole, Tyler Griffey, and Brandon Paul. And you know, Richardson and Jordan will on occasion, but they're not what I would call consistent, good offensive.
But all
rebounds.
Those are coming from long rebounds, or those guys running in from wings,
right,
or something.
Right. Our
Well, you need some big guys to be down there to push some other guys out and get them and put them right back in.
Boz, the 2 hours has flown by again. We had a lot of fun with Jerry Palm, with David Kaplan, Ed Bond. We thank you for all of your help over the course of the last 2 years.
Remind
we really
everyone
appreciate
of
it.
The remote coming.
Remote 1-3 on Saturday at Joe's on Wheat Street. That's west of Halstead, east of Sheffield, and one block south of North Avenue. And that's 1 to 3 o'clock. We're giving away T-shirts. We're giving away Wildfire gift certificates.
And we're going to stay and watch the Purdue game.
And we're going to stay and watch the Purdue game. It will be one happy family. I promise I won't scream at you during the Purdue game, or throw a brick through a television.
You promising me or the fans?
The fans as well.
Yeah, because they would get very scared of it.
Yeah. So have a great, great rest of the week. We'll see everybody
Thank
hopefully
you.
On Saturday. ILL, Boz.
I and I, Mr. G.